Monty Python's Spamalot has been described as a mock medieval, mock heroic send-up inspired by the 1975 cult film Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's the story of King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table and their quest to find the Holy Grail. Spamalot opens in Kansas City this weekend at Starlight Theater. And our guests are actor Janine DeVita, who plays the Lady of the Lake. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Also, Starlight president and executive producer Denton Yawkey. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to be here.
Well, Denton, you have said that you don't need to know anything about Monty Python or the Holy Grail to enjoy this show, but I would imagine that quite a few audience members do.
They do. They do. They come in, they know all the routines, they know all the lines, and as soon as they see the actors walk on stage in costume, they start laughing. Before they open their mouths, before a bit comes out, they say, oh, yes, we remember this bit, and they start engaging in the show.
Mm-hmm. And there have been three North American tours of Spamalot since it's premiered on Broadway. How did Starlight decide to co-produce a production with Theater Under the Stars in Houston?
Well, you know, once they stopped touring and the rights became available to us because we wanted to produce it, we said, well, great, let's get it on the schedule. You know, we had surveyed our audiences, and we do that all the time. We're survey fanatics. And they had indicated, our audiences had indicated, they were interested in seeing the show. So we put it on our show. We started to license it, check out how we could, pull the show off and do it first class. And we found that Theater Under the Stars was doing the show as well. And so we aligned our dates with theirs and joined forces.
Well, there are a number of cast members in Spamalot with Broadway credits, including Janine DeVita, who grew up in Overland Park, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd read that you started studying classical music and musical theater when you were eight. What drew you to that at such a young age?
Oh, gosh. Growing up watching The Elephant Show, I just loved singing, and I just sang around the house, and my mom noticed how much I loved doing it and put me into dance lessons first and then singing lessons. So I just started singing at a very young age and always found a lot of joy in it.
Well, then you went on to the University of Michigan where you were in musical theater and plays. And then in 2008, you debuted on Broadway as Rizzo in Grease. What was that experience like?
So exciting. A dream come true. It was really, really, really wonderful. I'll never forget that first night and just getting to take that bow on a Broadway stage and kind of the epitome of, you know, your dream coming true. It was really cool.
Well, in Spamalot, you play the Lady of the Lake, mm-hmm. and she's described as a showbiz diva and muse for King Arthur. Did you have a connection?
That's about right.
Did you have a connection to either the film or the musical?
You know, my uncle, I remember, used to really love Spamalot, the movie, the Monty Python. And I remember, so when I saw the show, it was one of the first shows I saw when I moved to New York. I saw it on Broadway. And I remember when I saw it, I didn't really know much going into it, but I remember hearing the coconuts in that first scene. I was like, oh, it's this movie. So I thought it was really hysterical. And the part is just so much fun. Lady of the Lake is a blast to play. It's really, really fun.
The Lady of the Lake is featured in a number of songs such as Find Your Grail or Diva's Lament or Knights of the Round Table. Let's listen to a clip.
Keep your eyes on the goal, then the prize you won't fail. That's your grail, that's your grail. So be strong, keep right on.
That's Janine DeVita as Lady of the Lake in Spamalot. It's a co-production of Starlight Theater and Theater Under the Stars in Houston. And Janine DeVita is here with me in the studio, as well as Starlight president and executive producer Denton Yawkey. And we're discussing Spamalot. That is a great clip. And the Lady of the Lake has been described as overflowing with divitude. Did you pattern your gestures or any singing patterns on any kind of current diva? Or
yeah I watched a lot of clips of different divas, Celine Dion, Cher, Liza Minnelli. I definitely drew upon those kind of inspirations. I don't do necessarily impersonations, but I'm definitely inspired by certain pop artists and icons that I think most people would recognize.
When you've played a number of different comedic roles, from Rizzo and then this role here in Lady of the Lake, uh-huh. is that a kind of a character that you're drawn to?
I never really thought it would be, but the more I'm in this business, the more I love comedy. I mean, I obviously love dramas as well, but there's something that's just really wonderful about hearing an audience laugh, and I really love that. So, but yeah, I'm drawn to characters that are a little feisty and have life to them. And in Lady of the Lake, what's interesting about Lady of the Lake in particular, I think in contrast to maybe the other characters in the show, is that it's almost a double layered performance, because in the second act, you get to see the actress who's playing Lady of the Lake. So in doing, you know, my character development and things, I kind of came up with a character who is this diva who is playing Lady of the Lake. So I just came off of doing The Mystery of Edwin Drood, the latest revival. And so that kind of concept of a show within a show was very familiar to me. So in doing Spamalot, I was lucky that I got to just have that kind of idea fresh in my mind. So, in a way, Lady of the Lake, it, for me, is doubly interesting because I get those two different layers to her.
Well, Denton, did you want to answer?
I was just going to say, I saw Janine in The Mystery of Edwin Drood. She played Rosa Budd, one of the two roles that she would go on for, and she was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Well, and Denton, your background is as an actor, and I think I had read that you and your wife met on stage in that production. Is that right?
In The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Okay.
My wife was a Rosa Budd.
No way.
And yes, and I was directing and playing John Jasper, and this
yes.
was a long time ago. it's about 22 years ago now, and that we did it in a small little theater in Galveston, Texas. And so that show has very fond memories for me and my wife, I hope, as well.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I watched the Monty Python film the other day, and I'd read that there's some differences between Spamalot and the film. And Denton, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of that, because I know that the Lady of the Lake is maybe a mention in the film, mm-hmm. and then she has such a big character in Spamalot. I don't know if you have any thoughts about kind of differences.
Well, when writers of a musical take an underlying work, like a film or a book, obviously they need to musicalize it. They need to turn it into this new art form. And in order to do that, they are given usually by the writers, by the original authors or the owners of the estate of the original underlying work. They're given some liberties to turn this into a musical. In this case, of course, they had to add song and dance. And so I think they probably determined that they needed a female lead in the show and that they could have some fun with it. So I think that's probably how they developed Lady of the Lake.
Mm-hmm. And it's not new for films to be turned into musicals. And I was looking over Starlight's Broadway season, and it includes several other film-to-musical adaptations like Catch Me If You Can and Footloose. That's interesting.
Catch Me If You Can, Flashdance, Footloose, and The Little Mermaid. If you want to get really specific, it was an animated film first. So we have an entire season, with the sole exception of Miss Saigon is the only show that was not a film on our season this year.
Now, Janine, in this production, there's a fellow cast member who's also from Overland Park. And I'm just wondering, in terms of living in New York, but do you keep ties to this area? I know you've been you've been in a Starlight production before, but mm-hmm. is that a connection that you still have?
Yeah, I try to come home, twice a year to see my family. All my family still lives here. So I do come home, and there are so many Kansas City kids that I grew up with who are now working actors living in New York now. So we run into each other all the time. And now, with social media, Facebook and Twitter, we all keep in touch. And Brian and I, this is actually our third show together as working professionals. We did actually that production back in 2005 of Hello Dolly here. And then we also did Grease on Broadway together. And then now we're doing this. So our paths keep crossing. It's wonderful. We grew up together as kids doing theater here, too. So now we're working together. It's great.
Well, was there something about the theater scene here in Kansas City? I know that you had done some theatrical work before you went on to the University of Michigan. Was there something that really kind of encouraged you to continue about the scene here?
I grew up, you know, training and taking lessons, and I never really thought I was going to do this professionally. It was just something that I really loved to do. But I actually saw a production of Songs for a New World at UMKC my junior or senior year, I think it was. And it was right around the time when I was deciding on whether or not I wanted to do this and apply at colleges for theater. And I saw that production and it really spoke to me. I'll never forget it. It really, really spoke to me that night and the message of that show. And it was so contemporary. And so I just really loved it. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. And so I auditioned at programs and got in and then went. So, but yeah, the theater scene in Kansas City had a huge, huge influence on my life. Huge.
I wanted to go to another clip. It's called Diva's Lament. And it's interesting. There's some audition materials online. And I think this was maybe a song that for in the audition for Lady of the Lake. Does that sound right? Or I remember seeing something, the Diva's Lament, where she's lamenting not having enough time on stage.
That comes in the second act. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't audition with this song, though.
Okay. Okay.
No. I auditioned with Find Your Grail.
Okay.
That's what I auditioned with. But it comes in the second act. And basically, she's just been off stage for too long and is not happy about it at all.
Okay. Well, let's listen to some of that.
What ever happened to my part? It was exciting at the start. Now we're halfway through Act Two, and I've had nothing yet to do. I've been off stage for far too long. It's ages since I've had a song. This is one unhappy diva. The producers have deceived her. There is nothing I can sing from my heart. Whatever happened to my...
That was Janine DeVita as the Lady of the Lake in Spamalot. And we're talking about Spamalot today, a Starlight production. Also in the studio, Starlight president and executive producer Denton Yockey. That's a really fun song. I imagine it would be a fun song to sing.
It's very, very fun. You know, just the frustration and everything that she's experiencing because she just wants to be on stage, you know? So, yeah, it's a very fun, I think, very well-written song. The whole show is, for as funny and as silly as it is, it's a very smart show. It's very witty. It's very smart. It's got kind of a sketch comedy kind of feel to it, but it's very well written. You know, as the actor saying the lines, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's so funny. You're so funny. But it's just really well written. Honestly, it's very well written.
And Eric Idle, one of the Monty Python members, I think was the main writer of this. And I know that the other Monty Python members weren't very involved but have accepted it and think it's a terrific show.
Right, right, right. You know, I was just thinking about the Diva's Lament and the fact that earlier you said Lady of the Lake, the character was, you know, just barely there in the original film. And obviously they were having, Eric Idle and others were having a little fun with the fact that, well, how do we get the Lady of the Lake back into the show? There's nothing left for her to do. Well, let's just have her come out and complain about the fact that her part's been left out. I mean, that's really what they do. And it turned it into a sort of a meta show within a show situation. But that actually comments on the point you made earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Denton, I have to ask you, Starlight is a wonderful theater and it's outdoors. And I'm wondering, you know, with the weather, what is your approach to the weather?
Well, the there's pros and cons about the weather. You know, when in 2000 we built the Jeanette and Jerome Cohen Community Stage House, we put a roof over the stage. So all of the sets, all of the costumes and the actors are protected. We say we play rain or shine, and it's somewhat like it's an outdoor event like any other outdoor sporting event that might play through rain in that way. The Starlight regulars who come out there will come out with their Starlight ponchos, and they'll put them on, they'll hood up, and they'll sit down and watch the show. Now, there are situations and weather situations where we will stop the show. And certainly we never want anyone, you know, to be endangered in any way. Lightning is a good reason for us to stop the show. And we watch that carefully. We've got all kinds of scientific devices now. And we usually stop the show and we usually get it in if there's a situation that causes us to stop the show. But right now it looks like it's about 40% or 50% chance of rain the first night or so. And, we're going to count in that other 50%.
Okay. Our guests today were Janine DeVita, who grew up in Overland Park. She plays the Lady of the Lake in Spamalot, also Starlight president and executive producer Denton Yockey. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Laura.
Early in the hour, we heard about the Kansas City Museum's exhibition called That's the Idea, Patents and Inventions from the Kansas City Museum Collection. You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Tune in tomorrow for The Food Critics. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with Suzanne Hogan. We also had help today from Claire McInerney and Ross Steinmetz. Up to Date is next.